Well, good morning. It's a joy to be with you. As I said earlier, and looking around, nobody left during the prayer, so I feel good. Actually, I haven't even given you an opportunity to leave. Pray later, so you have that chance. It's good to be with you this morning. I have both good news and bad news. The good news is Matt Tuggle will be back next week. The bad news is he's going to push it all the way till noon or a little later when he gets back. So enjoy one last week getting out a little early. My name's Andrew Beard, as I said before, and I've been here for almost 9 years here at the church, and it's a joy to be here. I have two children, a wife, Sarah, and two children, Foster and Keating. They're 6 and 7 years old, and this past week was Thanksgiving, and we decided for Thanksgiving this year that we would journey to St. Louis. St. Louis is where my wife's family lives, and so we got into the car in the evening time, and the boys got all nestled into the back seat, and as we were headed out towards St. Louis, about 30 minutes into the drive, our kids were just, you know, cashed out, just totally asleep in the back. So my wife and I took that as one of those rare opportunities to sit, to talk, to think about life, to dream about the future. And as we're enjoying Southern Oklahoma and the beauty it offers at nighttime, and we're driving into Durant, Oklahoma, which I'm sure is a lovely town. As we're getting close to there, all of a sudden, police lights come on behind me. This obviously hijacks the meaningful moment that my wife and I are having. And as the police come forward, I'm actually flashed back, and I remember the last time I had an incident with police getting pulled over was also on Thanksgiving, on my way to Thanksgiving, and it ended with me getting a written warning concerning indecent exposure. And so my hope was not to repeat the same thing that happened 15 years ago. So as we're sitting there pulled over and we're waiting for a long time. I mean, like a long time. As we're waiting, another cop car pulls up. And in fact, they journey to our car together, the two police officers. I roll down my window and I can hear them asking if they should call for more backup. I'm thinking, this is out of control. What is going on here? As they're coming towards the car, they're shining the light in where my children are sleeping, and they're kind of peeking in through the windows. And I'm thinking, is this real? Is this really happening? What is going on here? And the conversation continues as you would imagine it would. Do you know why I pulled you over? No. You were speeding. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was. Where are you going? Missouri. Whose car is this? My car. Can I see your license and your insurance? Sure. Did you know this car has been reported stolen? All of a sudden, I'm having this realization about what is going on. They see some minivan speeding through the night from another state with two children in the back. And this guy thinks he is going to be police officer of the year because it has been reported stolen. He thinks he has intervened in a grand theft auto situation with a potential Amber Alert, but he stopped it before our phones all buzzed. I mean, he thinks he has really stepped in there and stopped us. He's probably thinking I kidnapped the lady next to me as well. And in fact, I'm probably on my way to knock up the casino and hit that up while I'm in town. I mean, he thinks he has, you know, stopped something incredible. I'm obviously incredibly confused what's going on here, but yet this is the situation that's going on. So as he leaves and takes my information back to his car, he comes back a few minutes later and says, well, my fault, I inputted your license incorrectly, your car is not stolen. And which my thought is, of course it's not stolen, it's my car. He says to me, well, good news, your car's not stolen. And well, he didn't say this, but in my mind, I thought, good news, my kids are also not kidnapped. Bad news is, I was definitely still speeding. So he then says to me in this moment, he says, now what do you do for a living? And in that moment, I thought, I'm going to dig down deep, like holy, righteous, humble, like so deep, like I reach for a 20, you know, that kind of deep, you know? And I say to him, well, I'm a pastor. And he goes, okay, here's your ticket, pastor. You can pay this online or by mail or by check. That Thanksgiving journey did not start the way I expected it to start, did it? It did not go the way I thought it would go. There's a lot of us that things in life don't go the way we expect it to go. And in fact, I was not who the police officer expected me to be either. I mean, isn't that true for a lot of us? Things are oftentimes not quite what we expect them to be. I mean, think about fashion. In 1982, the movie with Harrison Ford called Blade Runner came out. Blade Runner took place in November 2019. So if you watch Blade Runner, you should see the fashion that we are all wearing today. And you will watch that movie and you'll realize we are not all wearing bizarre trench coats or weird outfits or weird glasses. We're not doing any of that. In fact, the fashion that we're wearing today is actually the fashion from 1989. They would have had no idea that the fashion that we'd be wearing 30 plus years later was actually just down the road. That was not what they expected. Driver's license. When you get your driver's license, you're thinking, oh, freedom. I can do all the things I want to do. And when you get your driver's license, suddenly you realize I'm basically running errands for my parents and paying for gas. That is what a driver's license amounts to. I mean, college, same thing. You think, oh, freedom. I can do whatever I want. And then you have this realization that, oh, I have to wash my sheets and my towel more than once a semester. I mean, these are things you did not expect. Your first real job, when they tell you what you're gonna make, you think, I'm rich. I'm literally rich. And you get that first paycheck and you see taxes and then you see insurance and then you pay rent and then you pay car insurance. And suddenly, this is not what you expected it to be. Becoming an adult, when you're a kid, all you think about is, I can't wait to be an adult. Suddenly, when you become an adult, you're like, oh, it's basically, you know, trying to lose weight and pay bills. I mean, that's what adulthood really is. Blind dates, you know, you think this person is going to be incredible, and then you realize filters on phones can do wonders to people's profile pics. The people you meet are not what you expected. Maybe this past week didn't go quite like you expected it to go. Maybe it was disappointing or discouraging. Maybe with marriage, you think marriage is going to be a honeymoon all the time. And then you realize it's conversation. It's commitment, it's consistency. Maybe it's not what you expected. Or when you have kids, my wife and I hoped and prayed for kids for 7 years, and then we finally had them. And you love your kids so much, and then you also love them a lot, like a lot. And you remind yourself that you prayed for them because you love them. And you say it just to remind yourself how much you love them. Sometimes kids aren't what we expected. See, many things in life aren't what we expected. So what do we do with this? How do we not find ourselves in a constant state of frustration or disappointment? How do we find ourselves not giving up when the unexpected comes our way? The Hebrew people had this hope and this dream and this desire of what the coming Messiah would be like. They had all these great expectations of who this Savior, who this Messiah would be. They thought this long-expected Savior, the one who would step into creation, born as a king, this one would be great and mighty. They thought the Messiah would be a warrior who would free the oppressed, who would set the captives free. They thought this mighty king who would take down the government, overturn the systems. They believed this person would be a holy and righteous leader who would cast out sin. This is what they believed for generations and generations, that the coming Messiah would be. This is what they expected. And if you look at our scripture this morning, Luke 7, verse 34, it says this: "The Son of Man has come, eating and drinking. And you say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" I didn't make that up. It's in the scriptures. Now, I don't mean to sound scandalous, but rarely, I mean, maybe never, no, definitely never does the Old Testament prophecy about the coming Savior describe the Savior as a glutton, as a drunk, or as one who dines with the least of these. While at the same time, that is what we have here. This is what they see and describe Jesus as. Now, I should state, just to make sure we're all clear, Jesus is not a drunk glutton, but he does spend so many of his meals, so much of his mealtime with the outcasts, with the oppressed, with the marginalized, that this is what they saw. This is what they interpreted. This is what they describe him as. The religious elite, the uppity-ups, the fancy-schmancy, the you and the me in a lot of situations, when they saw Jesus dining with these individuals, this caused lots of frustration because this is not what they expected. There was lots of disappointment. So there's no way this can be the Savior, the Son of God. There's no way that this same guy can be the long-expected Savior. Now imagine this. If you described today, based off this description of Jesus to someone, so he's like a homeless guy, he eats and drinks a lot, he hangs out with prostitutes and sinners and tax collectors. They say he's a carpenter, but I've never really seen anything he's made. People would say, I think I went to high school with that guy, you know? I think I know that guy. But very few people would say that is the Savior of the world, but that is the beauty of our God. Things are not always like we expect them to be. The religious elite, even Jesus' own friends and followers, weren't quite sure about him. They thought, there is no way this guy is the Messiah. He's nothing like we expected. There's no way. But here's the difference, and this is so important. The ones that dismissed him and wrote him off missed it. They missed it entirely. But the ones who were along for the ride see how God would work. They had a front row seat to the miracle of Jesus. See, we are always going to be overwhelmed with things that are not quite what we expected. But the ones who dismiss it will miss it. And the ones that see how God is working will see the movement of God. For those that throw in the towel, they have missed the blessing. I mean, isn't that true for so many areas of our life? When we give up on the hard things in life, in marriage, on our kids, on the calling that God's put in our life, on our relationships and friendships, on the fight against addiction, because it wasn't going as we thought, because it was too hard. Well, I hate to tell you, life is hard. Nothing goes as expected. It doesn't mean you quit. It doesn't mean you give up. Giving up is easy. Working through the unexpected is hard. And guess what? Rarely are things that are easily done as good, worthwhile, or meaningful as the things that are hard and challenging. It's the hard things that are good. It's the easy things that are fleeting. The persistence to stick with the unexpected is where the blessing is realized. I mean, you know this is true. When you invest money and resources, when you go to the gym and work out, when you're traveling, when you're building something, a career or a house, when you're studying or getting your education, and on and on. These things are hard and come with unexpected challenges, but when you stick with those things, they pay out in huge dividends for years to come. But it's hard to stick with things when they don't go as you expected them to go. So how do we stick with it? How do we stick with the hard things? How do we persist? How do we stay true? It's simple. It's hope. In Romans, the book of Romans, Paul is writing to the early Roman Christians who are trying to understand life and faith. They're struggling with the things that overwhelm them because they're not going like they expected them and they don't know what to do. And that is where Paul starts. Paul starts in Romans 8:24 with this beautiful thing. He says, this is how. For in hope you were saved. Hope is where you were saved. Now hope, that is seen. Well, that's not hope. Because you know that's coming. Hope is trusting in something that's unseen. Trusting in something that's beyond you. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. In 8:26, he goes on, Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. When we're struggling and we don't know what to pray, when we're struggling and don't think we can get through another day, when we think that life is too hard, the Spirit of God knows we're struggling and journeys with us and prays on our behalf because it knows us. God knows us. And God, who searches the heart, who searches your heart and searches my heart, that God knows what is in the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We are not alone in this life or in this journey. And then he wraps it up in 28 where he says, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. See, hope is how we do this thing. Hope is how we make it through. Hope is what gives us another day. Hope is what gives us life. Hope is what gives us persistence. And on this first week of Advent, we light the candle of hope. Because in a world that was dark and desperately waiting for God, they clung to hope in the midst of the unexpected. So how do we manage it? How do we manage the unexpected? With hope. Hope that things don't stay this way. Hope that things get better. Hope that this isn't it. Hope in what isn't seen. And how do we stay the course when our prayers seem to fall on deaf ears, when things don't seem to be getting better? How do we hope? Well, we hope that the Spirit of God is with us. In our darkest, most difficult times, when we are out of the words to pray, we don't know what to do, we trust that the Spirit is with us. The Spirit of God is working in us and through us, and this gives us hope. This renews our hope. How do we not give up? How do we not give up when the unexpected seems like it's weighing so heavily on us? We remember that God is working for good. This doesn't mean everything's going to work out. This doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. This doesn't mean that I'm going to get my way. But that God is working things for good. This is God making beauty from ashes. See, there are a lot of situations in life where things are not going to go as you expected, but don't miss God in the unexpected. The same person who is described in our scriptures as the gluttonous, drunken rebel who dined with the least of these, that was the long-expected Savior. He was the one they were waiting for. He stepped into creation. He was born as a king. He defeated sin and death. He set the captives free. He was and is the mighty King who will reign forever and ever and ever. But they missed it because it wasn't what they expected. They were actually right. He wasn't what they expected. He was so much more. But they gave up before they understood. They gave up before they saw. How about you? What are you wanting to give up on today? Your marriage? Your kids? Your education, your dream, your calling, your sobriety. What is it? Is it because it's not going how you expected it to go? That's not the reason to give up hope. That's exactly the reason to stay the course. C.S. Lewis, who's one of the greatest writers and theologians in our modern time. He wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and one of his great works about faith is called Mere Christianity. He says in that book, hope is one of the theological virtues. This means that a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next, because they had hope. This Christmas season, you will be inundated with the unexpected. Trust me, as sure as they will show It's a Wonderful Life on Christmas Eve, I can promise the unexpected will happen. But that doesn't mean we give up. That doesn't mean we throw in the towel or we quit on Christmas. Christmas can't be quit. Christmas is Christ stepping into creation. Christmas is Christ bringing light and life to all of creation. So don't let the unexpected make you quit. Stay with it and see how God moves this Christmas. And it all starts with hope. As we come to the table today in just a moment on this first Sunday in Advent, as we begin with the week of hope, let us remember that the same Jesus who ate with the least of these is with us today. The same unexpected Savior has hope for us today. So come to the table with hope. Hope that God's working. Hope that your story is not over yet. Hope that there's room for you at the table. Hope that reminds you that God is working for good. So commune with the hope-filled, gluttonous rebel and stick with him. I promise that will give you a front row seat to his miracles and his movement in the midst of the unexpected. Let us pray. Gracious God, I thank you that you are a God of hope. I thank you that you are a God that when you stepped into creation, you looked at all of us and you said, I want to be with you, all of you. I want to make room for all of you. I want to dine with all of you. So God, as the unexpected causes us to want to give up on our hopes and dreams and wants us to throw in the towel on Christmas, God, we know that you work through the unexpected. Let us stick with you to the end. We love you. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.